Welcome, everyone. How are you today, panelists?
We're doing well.
I'm doing well. I'm so happy to be with Doris and Campbell.
We're just doing a plain old radio program, but we're going to talk about virtual reality. It's kind of like another whole new experience, isn't it?
Yeah, that would actually be fun. I mean, can you imagine if you were in a virtual reality studio classroom lesson and you were sitting in the studio here with us?
And if I don't want to see you, I don't have to turn my head and I won't see you. I don't know. It's a little strange to me. What do you think?
It is a little strange, but sometimes the new is strange until we get familiar to it. And today we're going to dive right in, continue on, and get familiar with the technology so we'll know what to expect in the coming days.
In case you missed yesterday's lesson on page 10, just a very brief summary of it would be...
Well, that there is a group of people, some executives at the 20th Century Fox company, and they're trying to come up with some new technology to allow us to experience movies in a new way.
And particularly, they're looking into VR, or what we call virtual reality, where you put on these headsets in the movie theater and you choose your own narrative. You choose your own story. You look to the left, it's something, you see something different. You look to the right, you see something different from another audience member.
But you have to have something like either like a headset or a special kind of a smartphone that has that kind of interactivity.
Right.
In other words, you need some tools to bring that reality home to you.
Right. I do wonder, though, if you have these headsets, do you actually even need to go to the theater? Because it's not like the movie's being projected on the screen. The movie's in the headset, you know, so do you actually need to
be in
a theater to see it?
Maybe
it has to be on the screen.
You have to be connected in a theater where you can't connect it at
home. You probably have to be, sure, because it wouldn't make any money otherwise.
That's right.
But that's a good question, Campbell.
Oh, well, there's a lot of things that have to do with that. But we did learn some good words, and some of the words that have to do with virtual reality, that's one word we all need to know because things are changing by leaps and bounds every day, so we have to keep up, don't we?
Mm-hmm. That's right. So
as
things change quickly, which when we say that something changes by leaps and bounds, it means that it's changing quickly and rapidly, and if we want to stay up to date, we need to keep up with the changes.
So if you go to a movie theater and you have these special kind of headsets you have or something else you could use, like a smartphone that's got that on, then you could see the movie by looking up at the ceiling or looking left or right. You're still seeing the movie. You're not seeing what's really there.
Mm-hmm.
So you're kind of in the movie in a way, right?
That's right. So we talked about being immersed in the movie yesterday. So this is a new kind of immersion that's being achieved.
And it's really almost unbelievable. It's such a different experience. It's hard to imagine it, isn't it?
It is kind of hard to imagine, but I mean, it's just a little bit like 3D movies expanded. But the effect, they say, is devastatingly effective. It gives you a really powerful result when you experience this virtual reality world.
Mm-hmm.
Could be devastating if you're in a horror movie. Those are bad enough on
That's
a plane
right.
screen.
Well said,
right?
Doris.
Well, let's look at today's lesson on page 11. What are we going to talk about today? How are we going to start?
Well, we're going to be talking about how the technology and creativity collide in new ways and how this virtual reality is going to be used.
Well, so let's start by reading some of this because I think we just take the first section through line 11 and then we'll talk about that. So are you ready? Let's read it together.
All right.
As technology and creativity collide in new ways, will VR be a narrative experience or something more experiential? What genres make sense for this kind of full-on cinema experience? Which falls short? There's a deeper question. On Hollywood sets every day, producers and animators strive to make films more tangible and immediate. But they rarely stop to consider what happens if they're too successful. What happens when entertainment delivers on its promise of putting you there, but that's not really a place you want to be?
Well, we talked yesterday about this Ted Shilowitz, and he's a futurist, and they're always trying to think of innovating or thinking of new things. So he is very creative. He has a lot of creativity. But sometimes creativity doesn't work out together with the technology. It collides.
That's right. So when we talk about technology, we're thinking more of science, and it's more logical. And creative is more artistic and more emotional. So sometimes the two of these things kind of bump up against each other.
So then this narrative or this type of, this kind of experience of VR, is this going to be experimental, or how is it going to work out? Is it going to be on everything? Or this is kind of what they're thinking of, aren't they?
Right. They're talking about how, like, the experience is it going to be its own story, or is it going to be experiential, which sounds like experimental, but experiential just means involving or based on experience and observation. So is it going to be something that you sit in movie theater and just observe, or is it something else more powerful where you get to experience the ride?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, there's so many kinds of movies. What word do we say for many different types?
Use the word genre. So when we talk about genre, we're talking about comedy, action, drama, horror. These are
many
different
kinds,
types,
right?
Of genres.
Yeah.
Yes.
So you're going to have kind of a family movie, or you're going to have a literary type of movie, or a horror movie, or adventure movie. There's all different kinds. So does it make sense for all kinds on this, or which would be good, which would not be good, which would fall short, which would not be good?
Right.
Yeah, so when you fall short, it means you're not making the mark or the goal that you want to do. You fall short of it. And I guess, you know, things like horror movies, like you said, Doris, I would not want to watch a horror movie in virtual reality.
Maybe. but they would really be good. If you're just sitting around in a family setting, that would fall short, because what is there to look at?
Yeah. I feel like adventure and action movies would be where I would want to go experience
new
VR.
Yeah, I think adventures and adventure and action movies would be good. And I think movies where people just sit around talking, maybe that's not as suitable for virtual reality. I think it needs to be more experiential.
Well, I guess the people that are producing it will have to figure out what the people need and want. But
that's right.
You know what goes on here in line 5 to say that they do have a deeper question even than that. Because every day in Hollywood, the producers and the people who do the animation and makes everything move around, like all of these stories, they always try. They strive very hard to make the films more tangible, something that you can put your finger on, that you can relate to and immediately. But they don't even think about what's going to happen if they're too successful. What if it seems too real? Well, was that bad or good?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think this is something that, Doris, you had mentioned earlier. What happens when entertainment delivers on its promise of putting you there, but there is not really a place that you want to be?
With all these monsters scooping up people or something in the film.
Yeah, right. I can imagine, like, sometimes I get a little nervous when I watch blood or see anything.
Oh, yeah.
So maybe like an operation room with doctors and surgeons. I don't want to be
there. Or a big
there.
War right. or fighting or something.
Right.
Yeah.
So these things are maybe something that animators and producers would have to maybe stay off.
They don't make it too real, you know.
Right. Sometimes yeah, and as you were talking with the horror films, I mean, you don't want to be in the middle of a movie feeling like there's an axe murderer chasing after you.
You won't be able to sleep for a whole week afterwards. It's bad enough seeing those movies like they used to make them 20 years ago without thinking of making them more.
Black and white.
Right. Maybe we want them too real, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I know those are kind of things they're thinking about. So sometimes they try to make it so real, but maybe it's too real.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe some people get a heart attack. Who
That's
knows?
That's right.
Well, don't go there if you've got a weak heart.
Yeah. So maybe there is something to be said for having that distance between.
Yes.
Just being able to separate yourself from what's happening on the screen.
What
instead
do you think?
Of putting yourself in there.
Yeah. Kind of looking at it as an observer isn't so bad.
Yeah. I mean, I guess as this develops, we'll see. They're probably going to do trial and error, where they try something and it works, or if it doesn't, it becomes an error. It's like, oops, no.
If too many people have heart attacks, just stop showing up. They have to have the ambulance ready for that.
I think there is a danger. I think there's a lot of people who are out of touch with reality. You know, they're kind of just so immersed in their world of their books or their video games or their movies that they kind of lose touch with reality. So there is that danger.
Yeah, and they might go out and do things afterwards that are dangerous.
Exactly.
Hey, you got to think of that too,
yes,
you know?
Yes.
Because they don't feel. It's kind of like they're on some kind of drugs or something,
exactly.
You know?
Right,
so
yeah.
You got to watch all that stuff. Well, we do have to learn from the past, and we always have to learn, whether it's history or experiences, we always learn from the past. So as we start about learning from the past, let's read this next section down to the second column, line number 20.
Learning from the past. I'm not sure VR is all that different from expansive television storytelling. It allows you to tell a more complex story than many forms of traditional entertainment, said David Greenbaum, an executive at Fox Searchlight. Shulowitz added that a lot of this is using tricks from theater and others' days of yore and migrating it to a modern experience. Still, others caution that VR storytelling should be regarded in radically different ways. Storytelling for many centuries has been essentially people sitting around a campfire telling you about the buffalo hunt, said Defong Dennis, an Oscar-nominated documentary filmmaker. And with virtual reality, you're on the buffalo hunt.
So you really become part of the story, and that's what they did when they put these 3D movies and put glasses on. You really kind of felt like you're part of the story then, too, didn't you?
That's right. Well, yeah, I mean, when you put on the 3D, it kind of does pop out at you.
It's like you're there in it.
It does feel like you're there in it, but then I think, again, it's not the whole 360 immersion experience.
Yeah, because, well, looking up and to the left.
Right,
and
yeah,
right,
when you do put on the 3D glasses, if you look to your left, you just see your mom or your family sitting next to you rather than the environment that you're actually in.
Well, of course, all these filmmakers have their own ideas, and this one, David Greenbaum, he said this, that he wasn't sure that this would be much different from what they do on television story, but when they really make the story seem more than real. Even on TV right now, they try to do that, too. And that's kind of traditionally the way we're doing it now.
Mm-hmm.
So is it really that much different? But then this guy, Showalls, he answered him. What did he say?
Well, it says, Shilowalt says that a lot of this is using tricks from theater and others' days of yore and migrating it into a modern experience.
So in the past, in theater, they always had a lot of things that made it seem more real by special effects lighting and things going on and smoke screens coming up and the lighting flashing. And in the past, they've already done something to make it seem more real, didn't they?
Yeah, they have been. I feel like movie production companies have always been trying to push to see what's possible with technology to give you a better immersion inside the story. And sometimes the problem, it seems like, is they rely too much on it. They forget to tell a good story, and they use these tricks. That's what he calls it. They're really what they are. They're tricks.
Well, but they're still using them even in these new movies.
Mm-hmm.
But it says that they try to keep using those tricks but put them in a different form or make them even more trickier, I think.
Right, yeah.
But virtual reality makes it even seem more real than they could by the old ways that they used to do it.
Yeah, I think that's it, right. Does kind of open up what they're able to do with film and the way they make the movies and what they're actually able to show you. You know, if in the traditional film, you know, they can only show you one thing at a time on a screen. But with this virtual reality, you can actually experience a lot of things that are going around you.
Well, as you listen to this program, and after the program is over, you can talk to your friends and say, what would you think about it? Would you like to see a movie that's even more real? And see what they think. It's something to think about, because if people don't want to see it, they aren't going to be successful.
Mm-hmm.
But, of course, most people will like to try it first and see. What do you think?
I feel like they would try it, because like Silhouette says, and I feel like after hearing about it, it is a radically different way to experience a movie.
Mm-hmm.
And the word radically is something in an extreme way. Say your coworker shows up with a new haircut, and she looks completely different. That's radical.
Right.
And I really like this analogy he says in the end, where it's, for centuries, when you tell a story, it's like you're listening and you're hearing about a buffalo hunt.
Mm-hmm.
But with VR, soon you'll be on the buffalo hunt. You'll be part of it.
Just so you don't have to be the buffalo that they
that that's
they
a horror movie.
I don't want to be the buffalo when they're shooting at them. You know, you gotta watch it, right?
Right.
But, you know, it makes you feel more like you're part of the story while you're doing it. Mm-hmm. So that's what they're really trying to learn from the past. And I like this picture here. It shows people with those special goggles and looking all around, up and down. And kind of gives you a little idea. If you're in the theater and you just go in and see all these people, you think, well, what are they doing?
Mm-hmm. Can I just say, it kind of looks kind of goofy, this little contraption.
It does look a little goofy, yeah.
Yes.
But then, you know, it's a new idea. It's innovative, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, I think that there's an awful lot here that we would like to think about, but we really don't know until they actually do it. But storytelling has always been what people like. Like, even like when we try to teach English, if we just teach facts all the time, it gets kind of boring. So it's nice to have a little story. And people like stories. And sometimes we have stories at the end of our program. We're going to be having more of those in the future where you listen to a story and you can learn the English by the story. Mm-hmm. So I think from the beginning of time, people have always liked stories to learn, don't you think?
I feel like when you tell a story, it makes it more memorable. You know, if you can
more involved
in it, the more you can relate to the story, the more of an impression it makes with you, and the lesson or moral or what have you will stick with you as you go along.
You know, that's one thing. It's so hard for people learning English nowadays because they learn all this vocabulary, but they can't use it.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes it's good to just play little games where you say you're a car and you're a refrigerator and I'm something else, and then we tell a story. And I got in my car, and then you come along, and then you say something, and I open the refrigerator. So you got to use words in a story.
Yeah.
If we use words in a story, we can remember them. But if you just say a refrigerator is this, it's not very good.
Yeah.
So try to use that when you're trying to get your friends to speak English and your kids.
That's right.
Tell them to make stories with words.
Yeah, so remember, when we learn English, it's for communication. It's for us to learn about the world and not just for tests. Right,
right. So use the words and use ideas here. Well, let's read the next part about giving viewers options.
Giving viewers options. VR filmmakers also like to talk about what might be called invisible interactivity. That is, a film subtly changing based on viewer habits. In the Wild Short film, actress Laura Dern appears only when a viewer turns to look at her. If a viewer never looks, she never appears. Think of it as a kind of personalization, though that raises yet another question. If you and I see the same title in different ways, are we really seeing the same movie? Those making VR believe that it will change how we experience entertainment, particularly short form. Those who use the system struggle for analogies. It's like the addition of sound in a cinema that was silent. It is the advent of moving pictures in a world that knew only paintings and photographs.
You know, this lesson and this part reading, it reminds me when I was in school and studied philosophy and stuff. They're kind of philosophizing about stuff. It's a little deep sometimes, a little vague, don't you think so?
Oh, yeah, especially with the idea of, if we go and see the same movie and we leave and it's a VR movie, did you see the same film? Did you experience the
same
thing?
Sounds like a psychology class.
Or it goes back to what I remember in my college days, which is the same color. Do you see blue the same way I see blue?
Yeah. Oh. Do animals, they see it differently? How do they know? So there's a lot of different things involved here. But getting back to these options, these are different choices. So the viewer can choose certain things. And that's what the filmmakers that make this virtual reality, they like to say, they call this invisible interactivity. Now that's in line 22. I'm going to ask Campbell to talk a little bit more about invisible interactivity.
That's right. When it's invisible, it's not in your face. It's not so obvious. It's kind of an experience where you almost don't even realize it's happening. Right, so he gives an example here of film subtly changing based on viewer habits. So as you look, as you're watching this movie Wild, all right, the actress Laura Dern appears only when you look at her. And if you never look at her, she never appears.
That's really, really strange. But I'm glad that that actually Albert looked it up about the movie. Can you tell us a little bit more about this?
Oh, yes, of course. So the movie Wild is about this young woman, and she's driven to the edge by the loss of her beloved mother, played by actress Laura Dern. And throughout the movie, she's on this hike in nature, trying to connect and reconnect with herself.
With her mother?
And the world, and maybe with her mom as well. And her mom appears throughout the film, here and there.
An angel or something?
Like an angel. It's just someone there trying to guide her a little bit. And so if you're an audience member watching this movie, and you don't turn to your right, say for example, and see the mother, and then you won't see her later on in the film. So it's a different experience. Does it make for a better experience? Maybe. I'm not too sure. It's just really radical.
Doesn't that sound a little strange to you, Campbell?
Yeah, I think especially if Laura Dern, I'm not sure if you're saying she plays a kind of
she's the mother?
A spirit?
Yes.
A spirit?
Mm-hmm.
So does she have any lines? Because if she doesn't have any lines, then maybe it makes sense.
Then you would never know.
Right, you turn your head, you see her there, and then you don't, and then she's not.
But if she talks to her, you would hear the sound.
Yeah. But even without lines, I feel like just the image of her alone, her mom guiding her.
So if you turn to the left, you see her, and turn to the right, you see the daughter.
Yes, exactly.
But can you sit down and see both of them?
Maybe if you
I want to see both.
Well, I mean, maybe it's just like the movie. This kind of is kind of a little bit wild.
Yeah, well, they talked about this, you know, yesterday when you, a quick swivel of your head. So if you turn it quite extremely one side, then you can't.
Yeah.
But if you're just sitting looking straight ahead, I think you can see them both.
Mm-hmm,
otherwise,
mm-hmm.
You know, what kind of a movie is that? But if you turn too much to the left or too much to the right, then you might lose one of them.
Yeah.
Completely.
So I guess you have to just, you know, figure out how to watch these kind of movies. So it's a little bit strange, I think. But they call this kind of a personalization, so you can decide maybe you don't want to see the mother or something, whatever it is. Right?
That's right. So they say it's a kind of personalization. And actually, that's kind of the trend nowadays, is for a lot of things to become personalized. People like having individual experiences that are different than others.
Well, I can think of some kind of movies where I would like to, like, for instance, if I'm looking at something where some mountain lion or a tiger is going after some kind of an animal and it starts chewing them up, I always turn the TV off. But, you know, I mean, I don't mind seeing them running and running and running, but when they catch them and there's all that blood and they're eating them, then I'm going to turn my head to the left and I can just see the rest of the animals that are still alive,
right?
So in that case, I just as soon not see them eating the animal, so I don't have to. I can look this way and I won't see it.
Right.
I feel that Campbell has brought up a really good point, which is that we like to personalize our things, the things in our life. Like from our iPhones, we want it engraved with our names, or we want to customize and choose the color of a car with different trims. But I feel like in a story or a movie, at least, you know, the director and scriptwriter took the time to write this movie, and I would like it to experience what their viewpoint is, their perspective. And by using VR, I might miss out on the good parts or the bad parts. Yeah.
Well, what they say here, though, in line 31, is that when you make those making the VR, they believe it's going to change how we experience the entertainment, especially what these call these short films. I think those are like, we say, weightendings.
So that's right. Yes, those short films are films that are not very long, maybe a few minutes or to have, you know, probably less than half an hour, I would say.
Definitely, yeah.
So if you struggle, you know, the system struggles for this analogies. And what is that?
Analogy is when you want to have a connection to make it easier for someone to explain something. Say, for an example, like the human heart is like a pump. That's an analogy right there. It's just a comparison between two things to help explain the basic idea behind something.
So it's like the addition of the sound. Like before, they had silent movies and people watched them and they thought they weren't too bad.
Mm-hmm.
But then when you got the sound, it was good. When you got the color, when you got the HD, and you got all those kind of things, it made a difference, didn't it?
That's right. So they're trying to draw an analogy here of what it will be like when this virtual reality becomes commonplace, right? So it's saying it's going to be similar to the idea of movies coming with sound, or even just the idea of the moving pictures.
Well, it says before, you know, the advent of moving pictures. Before, they just had still pictures, then moving pictures, but it's just like this new thing is going to be like before you looked at paintings, mm-hmm. you looked at photographs, but now you're going to see it different. So they're making it going to be like it's really a big change.
Right, yeah. It's going to be interesting, I think, and I like the question they ask. If you and I see the same title in different ways, are we really seeing the same movie? You know, so I think with the virtual reality, it might come to a point where, hey, remember that point in the movie when this happened? And you're like, no,
I didn't see that part,
you know?
That's true. When the lion was killing the guy, I didn't see that part.
Well, maybe in a few years when Campbell's daughters, they grow up and they'll be like, Dad, how could you ever watch movies without VR?
Yeah, that's right. So there's a lot of big changes on that. So this is more about the VR in the, you know, for the professional way in the movies, that's mm-hmm. good. But, you know, tomorrow, even though it's the same topic in a way, it's going to be quite different because we're going to talk about the consumer market, mm-hmm. what's going to affect us and our personal cameras, not mm-hmm. the theaters anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So get ready to find out how this might affect what you buy for a camera or the way you take pictures. Mm-hmm. So don't miss tomorrow.
That's right. I'm curious to hear more about what you think about virtual reality, so make sure you write and let us know your thoughts and check out our QR codes as well. All right, so we'll see you tomorrow.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye.